With his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. The wounds of divine mercy, like God's love, are ubiquitous. Our belief might not be the strongest, like Thomas, but those wounds are ubiquitous. One place to look, and I never thought about this before, is our state flag. Our state flag has a beautiful pelican on it, a pelican in her piety, that's what it's called. And from the pelican coming to three chicks, there's three drops of blood. And it's from the pelican tearing her chest to take care of her chicks. Now, when I saw that, you know, it's interesting. My wife thought, oh, this is gross. But when I read about it on Wikipedia, that actually has Catholic roots, at least according to Wikipedia. And those are in the wounds of divine mercy. In this church, of course, we see representations of the wounds of divine mercy all about us. So I've talked about the stained glass window in the back of the church where St. Francis of Assisi received the stigmata. That there's a more subtle one that's right over the altar, of course, Christ on the crucifix. But there he is, Christ is on the road to Emmaus. And remember, the disciples recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And if you look at one of his hands up there carefully, maybe not from the back, at least with my eyesight, but if you look at him carefully, you'll see in his hands there's a wound. So those wounds, elation joined by pain and suffering. In the letter of John, the epistle today, there's also a discussion about the wounds of Christ through water and blood. John was there. He saw the side lanced, and he was talking about the church being established through those wounds to be a conduit of God's mercy. When Pope St. John Paul II established the first Divine Mercy Sunday in 2000, he said, Jesus entrusted to the apostles the gift of forgiving sins, then flows through his wounds, especially his pierced side. From there, a wave of mercy is poured out over all humanity. In witnessing the good news, we take people as are found. They might be found as Thomas is. I think most of us are found like Thomas is. In our understanding of divine mercy over time, it varies between us. And that's a good thing. So one of my seminary instructors, he talked about when he had a high school retreat, one of the first questions he asked is, you know, where's your belief in God from 0% to 100%? And most of them come out at about 25%, which isn't bad. It's just saying, hey, I recognize I got a long way to go. I think we all recognize we have a long way to go. When I query my students, and I ask them, how many believe in God? Well, it turns out not all of them do, but the majority of them do. And of those that believe in God, when I ask, do you believe in heaven? Most of them believe in heaven. But only about half of them, a little less than half of them, believe in hell. And only a few of them believe in purgatory. So divine mercy, there's a wonderful plenary indulgence associated with it, that you go from, you know, here on earth to heaven without a day in purgatory. Well, my students might answer me, how long is a day in purgatory? Because they're on their journey of understanding. The guys that I love to work with in jail, who've gone through hell, who seek heaven, and are presently in a kind of purgatory, they would take the plea of divine mercy in a heartbeat. So the apostles, immersed in belief, I mean, Jesus had come to them. You know, they really believed in Jesus, except for Thomas. For a week, they could not convince this guy. They could not convert this guy with everything that they felt. And he was their brother, and they loved each other, and they took care of each other. It shows kind of a struggle that it could be It's a struggle unless the Holy Spirit is involved. So Thomas did what he should have done. He said, you know, he did the Isaiah challenge. Show me those wounds and I will believe. And he also showed that that conversion, that belief and mercy occur together. And that's the way Pope Francis has explained it when he's talked to these readings. The saints teach us the world changes, beginning with the conversion of one's own heart. And this happens through the mercy of God. Whether faced with my own sins or great world tragedies, my conscience would be distressed, but would not be in turmoil, for I would recall the Lord's wounds. What sin is so deadly that it cannot be pardoned by the death of Christ? Don't you think the apostles were pardoned for not standing by him? The conversion from the physical to trying to come to God from all that's good, because God calls us, but we just don't quite have that belief there, to the metaphysical, that he is risen, that he has truly risen, is a point of appreciating mercy. So what's evangelization? Evangelization is kind of like this. Help me to understand so that I can believe. Work with me on this. Help me understand and believe so that I could be a Christian. Let me touch those wounds like you've touched those wounds. Bring me to it. And then when you become a Christian, I wouldn't say that we're the 100% there, but we're able to say, I believe. Help me to understand so that I can do God's will better. Help me to understand so I can go and do the mission that I was set out to do. And the beautiful words that Thomas said, my Lord and my God, is that point when mercy touched him and he was converted. Both conversion and mission, that understanding, come through water and blood. They come through the holy wounds. And when we have that mission, those are the words, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And all of you are sent. Each of us has a duty to minister to each other. And that's what the first reading in Acts is all about. It's about taking care of our community. But we also have a duty to evangelize, to go out into the world in our daily lives and to witness the good news. Blessed are those who believe but have not seen. Who Jesus is talking about is us. All the apostles were on the same page as Thomas. They just saw Jesus a week earlier. They also believed because they saw. So you have a special blessing because that mercy was passed on to you through the apostles who saw. But you were blessed that you didn't have to see to believe. And so you're able to carry that word out into the world in a very special way to all the Thomases that are out there. I think that Christ really exemplified the words of Wordsworth. The child is the father of the man. So the apostles had this experience, how hard it was to convert even a brother, somebody who they loved them and they loved. And they carried it with them their whole life. And I know for a lot of you, your life's mission is to try to convert maybe your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your husband, a good friend. But just remember, the child is the father of the man. Your experiences will carry with you, but give you strength to do that, like the example of Thomas. Our duty in mercy is joy. It's peace, like that peace that Christ gave to us. and it's a communal duty towards others, as the apostles were given. When Pope St. John Paul II canonized Sister Faustina Kowalska, I'm sure you can pronounce that better than me, coming from the great Midwest, the Polish mystic, Christ enlightened about the wounds of divine mercy, the Pope said, "Christ taught man not only receives God's mercy, but is called to practice mercy toward others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." He showed the paths of mercy, which not only forgives sins, but reaches out to all human needs. So we do have the duty to forgive, like the apostles to forgive. But we also have the duty of charity, to take care of each other, the duty to listen to each other, the duty to help each other. Do I understand divine mercy? No. No, I don't. Now, at the last service, I got a holy card from a Sister Mary Barber that told me to gaze on the heart of divine mercy and to study that for a while. But no one can grasp divine mercy. It's a mystery. It's beyond human understanding. Like the words I sang at the Easter Vigil, to redeem a slave, God sacrificed his son. It makes no logic in this world, but it makes logic in the love of heaven. Pope Francis talked about the entering of this mystery. Jesus invites us to behold these wounds, to touch them as Thomas did, to heal our lack of belief. Above all, he invites us to enter the mystery of these wounds, which is the mystery of his merciful love. Do I live by divine mercy? Absolutely. Like my guys in jail, I'll take the plea. I live in them like a child to a mother, like chicks to a hen, or chicks to a pelican in her piety.